Hey, good morning, everybody. It's an exciting morning for us. This is Mike's 40th anniversary. If you didn't know, congratulations, you made it to the party. Hey, just to let y'all know, the first two rows up here, we need Mike's family kind of on these two rows. Y'all squeeze in, and then we need staff and elders on these two rows with their wives. So if y'all want to get that done, if you're not already, let's stand, let's pray, and we have a good old Cottonwood classic for you guys this morning. Father, we just thank you for the morning, God. We thank you for Mike, and God, everything he's meant to us, God, everything that you've done through him and in him, God. We just pray that this morning that he would be blessed, God, that you would be blessed. Father, we thank you for Cottonwood. We thank you for your church, God, and how it's moving on the earth, Jesus. Amen. Been a while since we heard that one. It's a good one.
Let's pray. So, Lord, thank you that we're here to celebrate, and we're here to celebrate you. Mike and John Ann are kind of a focal point, but really you are the focal point, because if we're celebrating Mike and John Ann, we're actually also celebrating your faithfulness, God. Your faithfulness from generation to generation to generation. So I want to thank you for this morning, and I ask you, Lord, to bless it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My name is Scott Hooper. You don't see my face much because I'm usually down there with the kiddos because I'm the children's pastor here at Cottonwood. And so I just wanted to quickly tell you who I was. And for those of you who are just joining us today, like Lance said, maybe a surprise. Maybe you just came, you thought it was a regular service. It's not a regular service, but I think you'll be blessed. I got a few announcements because we've got to do announcements before we start. And I want to get these taken care of because these are some pretty important ones. There's a four fields intensive discipleship training that Craig and the missions team is putting on. If you're a Christian who wants to know how to share your faith more effectively and be a multiplier for the kingdom of God, you need to come February 7th, 8th, and 9th. And there's sign up in the foyer. There's going to be lunch provided, and you can also contact Craig, which you'll get a chance to know a little bit better here in just a few minutes. Ladies, if you're available on Tuesday at 10 p.m., that's this Tuesday at 10 p.m., it's our ladies' prayer for Cottonwood Missions. You are invited to come to that. They're going to be in the fellowship hall at the church, and Craig's wife, Deb, is supposed to be sharing that day, so that will be an awesome time. And if you came prepared, this is actually a really important one, if you came prepared this morning to give your Sunday offering and the little silver flying saucer that goes by, you know, your row during the offering time, we're not going to be doing that way today, okay? You can give in the gray boxes on the wall. We actually have four in here, and there's one out in the foyer. You can give your offering there in the gray boxes. Or are they brown? I don't know. I'll call them gray. Just look for the box on the wall, and you'll be at the right place. Or you can also give online. And some of you aren't familiar that we have a Cottonwood app, or you can get on cottonwoodlife.org, and you can give through there. And so those are some options. Also, it's not too late to give to Mike and John Ann's love offering. We are taking up a love offering for them, and you can do that the same way. You can put it in the boxes. There's envelopes, and you can mark it love offering or Mike and John Ann or however you'd like to designate it, or you can also give online. Just make sure you do designate it when you get online as well in the memo area there. Lastly, I was told to let you know that you can now get your taxes to the CPA, okay? Your contribution statements are available. They're in the red accordion file folder in the foyer, but here's the game. Today. The game is this. You've got to find that red accordion file because it got moved because of all the awesome celebration stuff that we're doing out here in the foyer. So those are ready. If you need help finding that, then you can talk to Mary Lee. Because what we really have going on today, I'm going to put this down here for a moment. What we really have going on today is we're here to celebrate an extraordinary milestone, 40 years of faithful service by Pastor Mike at Cottonwood and this community of believers. There's been a team of about 30 or more people that's been working on this, and we decided on a New Orleans theme reception, including, I think, unless it turns different, even a cloudy, misty day. I don't know how you dialed that one up, but you did. Very New Orleans, maybe a little bit, actually right now it's probably cold down there. But it takes a lot, you know, to stick around for 40 years. So I would like to take a moment to put this incredible achievement into some perspective for you. Mike is the longest tenured pastor in the area, okay? He's been at the same church longer than any other pastor in the area, which isn't surprising when you hear this statistic that the average tenure of a pastor in the United States is about 4 to 6 years. And that can even be less depending on which denomination's numbers that you study. It's estimated that fewer than 5% of pastors remain with the same congregation for even 25 years. So making a 40-year pastorate, man, what a rare and exceptional blessing it is. On top of that, studies and surveys suggest that only 1% of pastors actually reach the 40-year mark in their church. And it appears that Mike may continue until he's 100. I'm sure we'll be building a ramp over here on the side so he can get up here. We'll chop this thing down, make it just the right height for him when he's 100 and whatever. But he's going to keep going until the Lord says no more, until he's able to pass it on. But these statistics only tell part of the story. Without going through his filing drawers or his computer, I can confidently say that through educated mathematical ciphering, that over these last four decades, Mike has probably preached several thousand sermons.
okay, several thousand sermons, and funerals and weddings, hundreds and hundreds. He has counseled thousands of individuals and families. He's led this congregation through seasons of joy and grief, as well as growth and challenge. In 40 years, yeah, you pretty much see it all. But Mike's steadfast commitment has not just sustained this church, it has shaped it. He has dedicated and then baptized children who grew up and now bring their own children to be dedicated and baptized here. So real quick, I would be interested from you, raise your hand real quickly if Mike baptized you. That's a lot of dunking. That's a lot of dunking. What about baptize your children? Raise your hand if he's baptized your children. Dedicated your children. Raise your hand. What about dedicated you when you were a kid? Yeah, still some of you in here. Awesome. Married you or your children? Bunch of you in here. Did a funeral service that you attended? That would probably be most of you in here. Preferably not your own funeral service, okay? About led you to the Lord or walked you through some deliverance, get you back on track. Man, let's give the Lord a hand for that one. Man. You know, I'm making no guarantees that I'm going to make it through this because I've been with Mike a really, really long time, and I'm really emotionally invested in this day. But that right there, Mike, is one of the blessings. We need to get probably a thing of Kleenex up here for Mike at some point. That's one of the blessings of a long pastorate. He's been here long enough to see people come and see people go, as they do in all churches. But he's also been here long enough to see them come and stick around. And I'm going to ask some of you to stand up because I'm interested. If you're just visiting with us today, then this does not pertain to you necessarily. But if you've been coming a year or more, stand up. Should be a whole lot of you. And we're going to start weeding you out here, okay? I want you to remain standing if you've been here for 5 years or more. 10 years or more, remain standing. 20 years or more, remain standing. About 30 years or more, remain standing. And Martha's over here raising her hand. Yeah, she's been here. Y'all can have a seat. Because Mike, your ministry exemplifies what it means to serve with dedication, with your giftedness, and with a heart fixed on God. My wife, Shelley, would like to say something about John Ann.
Hey, John Ann. I know that you don't want this day...
Hello. I know that you don't want this day to be about you at all, but I know that I speak for anyone who knows you, and especially the other staff wives, when I say that you've been such a good example of an attentive mom and a supportive wife and a fun grandma. You've taught me what it means to make our home a place of refuge for Scott and how to be a pastor's wife. And the funny thing is, she never used words to teach me. Things. Your example just shines and it's just amazing. When I hear your grandkids pray out loud on the square, I can hear your influence in their words. And it's because of how you adore the Lord and how you've taught them to do the same along with their parents. They've heard you pray again and again, and it's real obvious. Your love for the Lord is contagious, and you are a wonderful picture of grace and beauty. Yeah.
And John Ann, to hear Mike talk of you all the time, not about you, but of you, okay? It's obvious that he's crazy about you and that you're his greatest supporter. You've been by his side. Man, you've joined him in a lot of his ministry responsibilities. So thank you for that example. And way off topic, I'd like to personally thank you for the endless Rolo brownies you bring to some of the eating events and the mayonnaise casserole. I know it's not called that, and it sounds disgusting, but it's really delicious. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for that. It is awesome. But back on topic, Mike, over the next hour or so, we're going to be talking about you and John Ann, and we're going to make you uncomfortable. We're going to make you a little twitchy in your chair, probably, but because you're the last person that you want people to talk about, okay? Okay. But I do hope that you allow this to be encouragement, okay? And allow our doting on you for just this today, because we're also, again, doting on the Lord. And we want this to, today to strengthen you. We want it to fill you for your calling for the days ahead. And we just want this to be a blessing for you and your family. For you, congregation, if you did step in for the first time today, this special tribute, I don't want you to miss the fact that this is also a tribute to Jesus. I alluded to that in the prayer. It's a tribute to the great God we serve, the great God that Mike preaches about. And I hope you're going to listen closely today, because you're going to also hear that we do make much of Jesus. You're going to hear what's important to Mike if you listen closely. If you listen even between the lines, you're going to hear what he values. You're going to hear who he values. And then the next time you do come in and hear him preach, you kind of get a glimpse behind the curtain and the things that God has done in this man over 40 years and longer, actually. That is the power behind the message that he preaches. And you're going to see that his desire truly is getting you to the places that God wants you to be. So we're going to pray, and then to kick off the rest of this time. And then after, Steve Chambers, the man who has the longest, he's been here the longer than anyone else, literally his entire life, he's going to share with us. So let's pray. So God, I just want to thank you so much for this day. And I do ask, Lord, that you'd make it encouragement. I do pray that we would see your glory. I pray that we would see your power in this, the stories and in the memories, Lord. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you are a God who has sustained this church. And so we bless you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
As Scott said, we are here to celebrate a life of faithfulness, both a life of faithfulness to God and a faithfulness to a calling from God. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Every good thing we have in our life is a gift from God. And every good thing that is within us, in our character, like faithfulness, comes from emulating the divine attributes of our Heavenly Father through the power of grace and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. David says in Psalm 100, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And the prophet Jeremiah says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness."
Thank you. In 1974, Paul and I moved to New Orleans, Louisiana, and we met the awesome Michael Fritcher. Freshman in high school, great servant, young champion for Christ, and we've grown to love him like our own son. I have to congratulate you as a church and to Michael Fritcher as a fabulous pastor for 40 years at this incredible church. God saw fit in about 1976 that Texas needed some help, some evangelical help, and so he sent Michael to go to school there and to serve. While he was there, God said, whoa, he needs a helper, and so he sent him the phenomenal John Ann to be his great helper, help me, ministry partner, and awesome wife. And as you know, the rest is history. And what a great team they've made as they have served this fabulous church for 40 years. 40 years. Most churches and pastors can't make it more than 3 years together. But look what God has done with this man of God for the last four decades. So I affirm you as a church. I affirm him as the pastor. And then, oh, by the way, it wasn't enough to send Michael. He sent some other Louisiana people. He sent Scott and Shea over to serve. And then later on, he even sent Michael's younger brother, Jeff, over to help with the Texas ministry. You guys need help. Louisiana, we're lost, but you guys in Texas, you got some hope. But we do love Mike. We are so grateful for him and his ministry and what God has done in and through him. And you know, your church is known worldwide now for the kingdom of God because of the fabulous ministries that you've done. So Mike, John Ann, love you. You're awesome. Looking forward to seeing you again one day. God bless you.
Well, greetings, Cottonwood Baptist Church and friends. I'm Joel Gregory, Professor Emeritus of Preaching at Baylor Struett Seminary and head of my own ministry organization. Now, it's been 40 years of ministry that we're recognizing by Pastor Mike Fritcher. Feel like I've known him at least that long and perhaps even longer as a student when I taught at another seminary. Mike has been a dear friend and encourager to me across all of these decades, as he has been to so many of you. In more recent years, it's been a privilege to be invited by him to share with you year by year at Cottonwood Baptist on Sundays in a special Bible conference of renewal. Also, he's introduced me in the past to preaching at the state prison at Gatesville and other opportunities where he's opened the door. The Bible says that we're to give honor to whom honor is due. Honor is not a tip that you leave. No, it's a debt that you owe. And the Word of God says clearly that those who labor worthily in the Word of God are worthy of double honor. So I want to join with all of you at Cottonwood and thousands of people beyond there all over the country that have been influenced and inspired by Mike Fritcher's ministry to wish to you, Mike, on this 40th anniversary, the very best of all blessings. As you look back to God's promises in the past, to the rock from which you were hewn, as Isaiah 51 says, but as you look forward, pressing on toward the mark for the high calling of God. I trust this will be a wonderful celebration for Cottonwood and many people beyond. God's blessings on you.
Howdy, Mike. You've had congratulations on 40 years at Cottonwood. Congratulations on 46 years in Billingswood. That's how long it's been since we started our journey together. And I have to say thank you so much for being willing to invest in me, for teaching me how to walk with God, how to seek His glory, not for a reward, but because He's worthy. Thank you for letting me share some of the most profound days in your life and mine. Thank you for baptizing my wife. Thank you for loving me without judgment, but loving me with grace and mercy, and always pointing me towards God's Word. There are a few people in our lives who do what you do. And I know sometimes you don't always get to see the fruit, but today I hope you celebrate the fruit. And I also hope, Mike, that you will hear the words of your Heavenly Father. And I don't pretend to speak for him very often, but today I know that those words that will come out of his mouth, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. This is your Father's glory," according to Jesus. In John 15:8, he said, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." Mike, your life is borne fruit in my life, in the life of my children, and the life of my grandchildren, and it will continue to bear fruit into the next generations because of your faithfulness, because of your humility, and because of how much and how well you love. God bless you. From the Billings family, we love you.
There's something beautiful that happens every once in a while, and we can't plan on it. We can't make it happen. But sometimes when the worship team introduces a new song, the congregation as a whole just grabs onto it, and it becomes a heart song. It becomes our anthem for a season. And nobody talks about it. Nobody plans on it. It just happens organically. And it's just when, from our perspective looking this way, is when we see it goes from singing songs and making music to worship. And it's beautiful to see from this perspective. So this morning we put together a short medley of just a few of those songs that have been Cottonwood's heart songs over the years. So why don't you stand and we'll sing these together.
Jesus, all hail, Lord.
Have a seat. Michelle. Well, about 25 years ago, we decided to reconstruct things a little bit different here at Cottonwood and officially operate Cottonwood through a board of elders. And if you're a current elder, would you mind standing up and just come standing over here on the side? If you're here. If you're not here, you didn't hear the message, so it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. So while they're making their way, which we had them in front, so it didn't take very long, I was anticipating a little bit longer, so good job, guys. Don Gilbert, in alphabetical order, our elders are Don Gilbert, Chuck Gilliland, Richard Harbin, Bob Hooper, Craig Means, Rod Rutledge, and Daniel Viss. Others that have served as elders in the past are Ricky Salyer, Pat Wilson, Rick Robertson, James Cox, Bob Conger, Dale Carr, Dale Collum, Les Maxwell, Mike Stroop, and Arlo Heinrichs. Our elders, they speak to our finances and budget, major decisions that impact mission and vision and values. They take care of church discipline issues if necessary. They deal with interpersonal issues here at the church that affect community. They teach. As a matter of fact, they're taking turns teaching on Wednesday nights for a while as we speak. And they pray for the church, and they pray for people. And according to the book of James, these are the people that call on the elders of the church to anoint them and pray for them, pray for healing for them. I wanted you to see these humble men. They actually prefer to stay behind the scenes because I want you to know that know them to pray for them just as they pray for you and the many of you at Cottonwood. I've asked two of them, Richard Harbin and then Daniel Viss, to say a few words about Mike. So if you two gentlemen would come up here and the rest of you can go back to your seat.
I'm very honored to get to speak about Mike and John Ann today. So much of my life has been team sports, and how I describe things a lot of times has to do with that kind of vernacular. And I would say that Mike and John Ann have been one of those people that make a difference. They're difference makers. Christian church is a whole lot like team sports. It's really really good to have people that make a difference and leadership that makes a difference. And when Scott asked me to maybe tell a story about Mike and John N., the one that came to my mind was about when Mike and John N. first came to Cottonwood. They were asked to come and fill the pastorate here. Mike was still in school and in seminary, and he said, well, I can come for 18 months, but like most young men, he had big dreams. He was from a large church in New Orleans, wanted to be to plant new churches, maybe go back to a big church, you know, the kind of things he was used to. But during that 18 months, God really spoke to him, asked him to die to all those dreams, asked him to pastor this church, and he gave up those dreams. And God has done a miraculous work here at Cottonwood, because a young man and a young woman went all in. That's another athletic term. They went all in. And they built this house on the rock, and that's Jesus. It wasn't about ego. It wasn't about any superficial things. It was about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's why they're difference makers in this church.
Mike, I'm so glad you died to those dreams. I think of this passage in Acts 17:26. It says, God has predestined the places in which we shall live. And you were predestined to live here. And I'm glad that he predestined me to live here. Because you have made an incredible difference in my life. We showed up here, I think it was 96. And it was probably third or fourth time. And you always say it. If you're here the third or fourth time, I'm going to ask you to meet with you. And you did that. And we met for a long time. You asked me a lot of hard questions. Some of them I really didn't want to answer. I remember one question you asked me, and I said, I told you, I wish you hadn't asked me that. But I told you the truth. I had to. I didn't want to be like Ananias and drop dead and tell you a lie. So you knew all my dirty laundry in my closet. You knew it all. You knew who I was. But in spite of all that, you saw something in me that I didn't even know I had. You saw that I had potential. And I don't think anybody in my life has even gave me that. And you encouraged me. You always pushed me in my faith. And one of the best things that you did, the first book that you told me to start reading, and that was the book of Proverbs. And oh my gosh, you can't imagine what difference that made in my life. It made me a better man, a better husband, and a better dad. And you always encouraged me. And I am ever so grateful for that. And you always put challenges in front of me. You help me to grow in my faith. And after a few years, well, it was quite a few years, somebody had asked me, it was Chance, they asked me, he says, when did you accept Christ? And I couldn't answer that. It bothered me deeply. Because of the culture that I was raised in, we never talked about personal relationship with Christ. And I called you that Monday morning and we met and we got it straightened out. And there's one thing about that is that I had been baptized twice already. But I knew in my heart it wasn't authentic. And after I accepted Christ, you led me through that prayer and everything. I remember asking you, does this mean I have to get baptized again? And I knew what the answer was before those words left my mouth. But the one thing I appreciate about you, Mike, you don't try to be our Holy Spirit. Because what you told me, that is between you and the Lord. And so after a few years, you did baptize me. And I'm so grateful for that. And just, you've been with us, with me, my family, through so many milestones, good ones, great times. You led me to Christ. You baptized me. You married both of my daughters. And those were all wonderful times. But also, you had been with us when we've lost family members. You've counseled us. You've done so much. And even now, you place challenges in front of me that I never thought I would be able to do. But you encourage me to do that. And I appreciate all the challenges because it does help me grow in my faith. Mike, the only thing I can say is that I thank you so much for being a good friend, a pastor, and a teacher. Thank you.
Pastor Mike and John Ann, we celebrate 40 years. So thankful for you and how you've pastored us and how we've seen you pastor both locally and globally. Just seeing you minister to our church in Turkey and pastoring the pastors there, leaders, and just raising up the church there, just working alongside us. We anticipate and look forward to doing that together in Greece. So thankful for you.
Yeah, and John Ann, I just have to highlight your love for the Lord just really exudes with kindness and grace and selflessness that is really transparent and bathes in the wisdom of the Lord and just is such an invitation to Him. And it crosses all language and cultural barriers. We love you
both.
We
love you.
Hey, Pastor Mike, congratulations. 40 years service to the Lord. Thanks for everything you've done for us down here and for the ministries around the world that you've encouraged and supported and began. God bless y'all.
Hello, Pastor Mike. Celebrate 40 years of being serving God and His people. Thank you so much.
I'm so proud of you.
We are here in this way with you.
Keep going in Christ.
Pastor Mike, you gave your life, 40 years life to God Church and to God people in America and also in China for Hani people, for us. So just very grateful and may God be with you, bless you. Remember you, how you give yourself away and how you love church and God's people.
我们是来自云南的阿波一家，我是 Lydia What's up, Lua?
Esther.
I'm Chloe.
谢谢大家。
我们很高兴能一起录制这样的一个纪念，你和 Jana 的40年服侍在主里的辛劳。我们很感恩你们一直在主里，这样顺服上帝的旨意，牧养他的羊群，也牧养了很多很多不一样的家庭，也包括我们的一家。我们在很多年以前为着耶稣基督的爱，因为你们的支持，来到了西双版纳景洪，所以我们也很感恩。还有很多很多人知道为我们祷告，我们在这里也一直为着神的福音和牧养神的百姓一直在这里，也谢谢你们对我们的支持，也祝福你们在过去的这40年里面，你们如此的顺服，包括以后你们是继续在这样的一个呼召上面继续的顺服，所以谢谢你们感谢你们，感谢神的爱，感谢主的爱，感谢你们的爱，谢谢你们，
谢谢。What you said, Messi say, good to celebrate Michael and Joanna 40 years. 40 years marriage anniversary? Oh, you said 40 years pastoring marriage. I learn from you. You treat your church pastor like treat marriage. You spend a lot of money, spend a lot of resources, sacrifice a lot of time to your church. As your marriage. That's a really love from you. I want to encourage from Isaiah chapter 54, say, verse 2, say, enlarge the set of your tent. Because you enlarge your tent of size, so very far away, many people can know Jesus. I want to encourage you, continue, do not hold back. Lest your cords and stress your stakes. Do not hold back. 40 years cut your wood. 40 years like the tea. Older tea, and a better aroma. Older, more energy. Gambe, cut wood. I hope someday can come visit, share how God through your church to bless many places as a honey place.
So Cottonwood's a little bit bigger than you thought. The ministry that Mike has reached, this ministry is bigger than anything that we could do in the flesh. God's been so faithful all around the world. But the day-to-day of what happens here at the church, it happens through the hands and the feet of the ministry staff. The staff consists, and I'd like for you to stand if you're in here when I call your name. Marilee Mayberry. Why aren't you up here? Okay. Anyway, no, stay right there. So Marilee, she's our administrative assistant. She deals with finances, the benevolence things, calendar. She keeps the rest of us children in line. So thank you. Cottonwood, she's been here at Cottonwood for 25 years. Yeah. I think that that clap was for keeping us in line. She's been here at Cottonwood for 25 years, and she's been on staff for 23 years. Wayne Trimble, he's probably standing, but he's in the back. He's the media. He's the one that edited all these videos together. He's also the visionary behind the beautiful and impactful Faces of Christmas and Faces of Easter theatrical productions. He's been at Cottonwood 26 years and staff for 22 years. Lance Battenfield, he does worship. Lance has a great team and deep talent. He's a true worshiper. He's not a performer. He's a true worshiper. Been here at Cottonwood for 18 years and on staff officially. He's been playing longer than that, but on staff officially for 4 years. Karen Sones, she is here. She's not in the preschool. Hey, girl. She was
She was already second in command whenever she filled my mom's shoes in the house, in the preschool area, and her compassion for kids and adults alike is moving. It really helps center me personally. And Karen has been here at Cottonwood for 22 years and on staff for 6 years. Craig Scoville, our missions, I call him Mr. T. He doesn't know I call him Mr. T. Actually, Mr. Team, because he always has an A team around him. And if you don't get that reference, you just have to go back and see his TV, whatever, and go watch TV. But he always has a team around him, whether it be in the kitchen or major events or mission trips or whatever he's doing. He has a team. He's always looking for a connection with someone or a connection. He's always investing in new people. He's new faces. And you might want to go ahead, and I just put a note in here as a reminder. You might want to go ahead and get your passports, because he's going to be coming after you before long. Okay, because we got a lot of work to do overseas. Chance Yankee, I think I saw him over here. College. Chance is our college and pastoral ministry guy. He has a passion for evangelism and discipleship, and you know that if you've spent any time with him. And seeing that lived out, Chance, in your life and the people you interact with is inspiring. He seems to always be looking for a connection or to connect somebody with somebody else. He's been at Cottonwood for 29 years and on staff for 24 years. Braden Burleson, youth. Where's Bray? All right. So Braden, he's our youth through junior high and high school. He's our baby brother. He's sweet. He has such a servant's heart. He runs social media, so he knows tech, which is handy for us geezers. It's good to have you on. He's been at Cottonwood for 21 years, but on staff for 4 years. And myself, I've been here for 37 years and on staff for 33 years. Yeah. But maybe there are other churches that have had a staff that's been together that long, but I don't know any. And another obvious question, maybe, you know, why? Well, I for myself, a large part of it is that I believe that we believe the mission that God has Cottonwood on. And we do trust Mike's leadership as he allows us to work out what that looks like in each of our areas. We're free to create. We are free to plan. We are free to minister vision. We're free to work it out all out as long as it aligns with our core values and the mission that God has us on. Mike works on creating a culture where we don't operate each ministry in a silo or in a vacuum, but we do try to integrate. It's a very free work environment. Thank you for doing that, Mike. That's one of the reasons why I love it. But I've asked Chance and then Lance and then Craig just to speak a couple minutes about Mike's heart for kingdom things and the ministry we have at Cotton.
I had to write this out so I didn't get overly emotional. I'm honored to stand here today to express my deep gratitude and appreciation for our pastor and his wife. Words often fall short in trying to capture the depth of impact that you have made in our lives today, but I'll try. Mike and John Ann, your unwavering commitment to serving God in this congregation is an inspiration to us all. Mike, from the front, you lead, and John Ann right along his side. Week after week, Mike, you pour your heart into delivering us messages that challenge us, encourage us, and draw us closer to Jesus. Your words are not just sermons. They are lifelines that help us navigate the complexities of life with faith and hope in Jesus. Beyond the pulpit, your actions speak volumes, whether it's visiting those in need, offering counsel during life's toughest moments, or simply being a listening ear. You embody the love of Jesus in everything you do. You both remind us that faith isn't just something we practice on Sundays, it's something we live out every day. Personally, Chelsea and I, my wife, have been deeply touched by your compassion and guidance from both of you. When we individually or together are going through life's challenges, your prayers and words give us the strength to keep going. It's a gift to know that we have a pastor who genuinely cares for each of us, not just as members of his congregation, but as individuals with unique stories and struggles. You have taught us that leadership is about servanthood and that love, grace, and humility are the marks of true strength. We see Christ reflected in both of you so that we can look more like Jesus as a result, because as you say, that's always the goal, transformation. So today we thank you both. Thank you for your tireless dedication your faithfulness and your sacrifices. Thank you for your prayers, your wisdom, and your examples. And above all, thank you for being a shepherd who leads us closer to the good shepherd every day. May God bless you abundantly, strengthen you for the journey ahead so you can finish strong, as you often talk about, and surround you with the same love and encouragement that you have so generously given to us. We are deeply grateful for you, Mike and John Ann, and we love you more than words can express. Thank you.
Well, I could say a lot on a personal note to what Mike has been in mine and Chelsea's journey together. But they asked me to speak about worship, and so I wrote you a note on that, Mike, but we'll stick to worship this morning. I don't know, most of you guys probably can't see Mike from where you're sitting, but we get a front row seat to Mike's worship on Sunday morning, and it's just great to see a pastor who loves to worship, and even a old Baptist pastor who throws up his hands and worships the Lord. And I'll just tell you, Mike loves to worship. One of the greatest things that we implemented were these guys right here, because Mike likes to clap sometimes too, and we can stay right on time. No, and I'll just tell you guys, if you're new here, we are honoring our pastor. This isn't some weird cult. I'll just tell you, one of the greatest things that Mike even has shown me is the humility that he walks with, even in a position that he's been in 40 years. There's been times that I've gone to Mike and said, "Hey, I'm not." This isn't jiving right, and he's like, and he'll immediately just, "Thank you so much, and I'm sorry." And I'm just telling you, I'm not saying that to say, "Oh, he's wrong" or anything. I'm saying that because the man is humble, there hasn't been many times. But even if I've brought any correction to Mike as a kid going to my elder, He takes it on the chin, and it's a great example. But I'll just get to it. Mike doesn't just model worship on a Sunday morning for us. I think when you worship on a Sunday morning, it's just proof that you're meeting with God, that you've met with God, and it's there. And so he brings that in as an example to us, even that. You know, worship takes place during the week. It just brings to my mind John 12:24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And I think we've all heard the story of Mike just dying to his plans, dying to himself. And I think that's something that it didn't just happen that one time. It happens. It happens at least yearly, you know. And it bears much fruit, and you see the fruit that it's created, not just fruit in numbers, but just fruit in a life of worship, that we have a pastor who's not a pastor who comes here. He's not just a Sunday morning pastor. He's a pastor who is a love you well pastor during the week. He's a pastor who is a lead you to freedom pastor. He's a pastor who, when your marriage is hard, he's there kind of pastor. And when you're in the hospital, he's not just there because he has to be, but he's there because he loves you and he wants to pray for you, pastor. And that's our example of worship, that we laid in our lives week after week, day after day, moment after moment, as an offering to the Lord. So thank you, Mike, for that example.
A lot of times I'll pull up to the building out here during the week, and if Mike's here or if he pulls up while I'm here, I'm greeted with a big smile and a, "Hey bud, how you doing?" And Mike, I thank you for that. I know that maybe sounds a little silly, but that means so much to me, that you take the time every time you see me to ask how I'm doing and you genuinely care. I know we all appreciate that about you and are grateful for that. I wrote mine down too because Scott told me to, and everybody knows I do everything Scott says, tells me to do. I'm supposed to be sharing, I'm going to share about values, our church values. And values are something in life that guide us on a journey. When we get off course a little bit, the things that we really value should be the things that bring us back and get us on the path that we need to be on. And we have a list of values out on the wall out here. I'm sure if you've been here very long at all, you've seen them. Maybe if you've been here for the first time, it's pretty big. Scott made it, so it's huge. You see those values. God's glory, loving well, community, life change, and God's word. These are the core values of the church, and they're put on the wall in the foyer for everybody to see. And when you come into the church, maybe, or you've joined us, and maybe you become a member of the church on this journey, these are the things that we believe as a church body, the things that we strive toward, the things that we encourage one another to seek after, to try to do. For 26 years, I've had the privilege to grow into understanding and striving to live these values, not because they're on the wall out there, but because I see them lived out in the life of my friend. Every day, in every opportunity, every interaction, every relationship that I've witnessed, whether it's here, overseas, people that you don't even share the same language with, I've watched you live out these values. Your compassion and grace and your long-suffering reflect God's glory. Reflected God's glory to Annie and Samuel, Boothy and Mong. People that only get to see you once in a great while, but they love you so deeply. The way that you reach out to other pastors and missionaries and anyone in need of a friend, the way that you are a friend to them and a brother, reflects loving well to each of us. Men's groups, events, staff meetings, elders meetings, shows your passion for community, the way that you desire to be together with other believers, leading the church, leading us, and spurring us on to love well. The deliverance that you received and that you've shared with us so many times over the years, shared your story, and then you've often shared that deliverance with others. You lead many, many people in this room today. You've led through deliverance. It's shaped your message, your life message, and it's brought about change that most of us can say that we've received because of your message to us. We're grateful for that life change, Mike, that you give us and that you lead us towards. Your passion and respect for God's word is evident in all that you do. To be under your teaching, whether it's on a Sunday morning or in men's group, whether we're traveling together, whatever it may be, when I'm around you, I'm hearing the word of God. I'm seeing God's word lived out in your life. And I envy that. I long for that in my own life. To be so passionate about God's word and to love it so much that it's in my heart and flows out of who I am. To my wife, my family, thank you for modeling that for us. 1 John 2:5-6 says, "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Mike, thanks for walking just like Jesus walks. We see that in you, and you challenge us to do the same. You challenge your staff, you challenge this church, challenge your elders to walk as Jesus walked. And you model that for us, and we're grateful. Thank you for loving the Hani, the Tataramans, the Khmer people of Cambodia, the people of Thrace, the Navajo, and everyone that you meet. And thank you for the promises that we've made as a church and the promises that we know because of your integrity and because of who you are as a man that will be kept. And most of all, thank you for reflecting God's glory to each one of us, day in and day out. We love you as our pastor, but we love you as our friend. Thanks, Mike. Love you.
If I could have Mike's kiddos and grandkiddos come on up on stage. There's a lot of them. It'll take a second. This is actually my favorite part. I've been looking forward to this part for a while. While they're coming up, I think we have a real short video from some other family members. And then Ashlyn is going to speak.
Hey, Mikey. Happy anniversary. I love you.
Hey, Mike and John Ann, we just wanted to congratulate you guys on 40 years at Cottonwood. That is fantastic.
So awesome. Love you guys. Love you, Mikey.
We miss you. Love, love, love.
Hey, Uncle Mike and Aunt John Ann, congratulations on 40 years at Cottonwood. We love y'all.
We love y'all.
Okay. I'm Ashlyn. These are my siblings and our sweet kiddos. I'm Mike and Johnny Ann's daughter. What a special day getting to celebrate Mom and Dad 40 years here at Cottonwood. My siblings and I are in our 30s, so this has always been home for us. We lived in a house that is now the nursery. The property was our backyard. We were homeschooled in that home and rode bikes on the roads, and we had awesome forts right about here where this building sits today. So many wonderful memories have been made here. This church has watched us grow up. We have so much love and respect for Mom and Dad, and I can't imagine not sharing that with y'all today. These two truly are the same here on Sunday as they are at home. What you see is what is real with them. When I think about it, Mom has really laid down her life for the church. These 40 years would not be possible without her sacrifice, and her heart beats just as strong for the church as Dad's does. She's his partner, his support system, and she stands right beside him through it all. She has made the Lord her priority, and she's been faithful to pour into her children and grandchildren, always pointing us to Jesus. She's down to earth, and she's simple in the most beautiful way. Mom's ministry is really behind the scenes, and she has no desire to be in the spotlight. She's the lady that'll give you her full eye contact and listen to you for hours. She's slow to speak, but when she does, it's full of truth. She has the gift of compassion and the gift of encouragement. I've gotten to watch her as she's poured life into so many women and young girls. She has faithfully served for decades on the square, teaching Sunday school in Awanas, and it's no secret that kids are drawn to her. She has that special way of making you feel seen and loved. She will give you all of her attention and all of her time to whoever needs it, which might be why she's always everyone's favorite. I've always been a mama's girl, and I just hope to be everything that she is. And as I've gotten older, I've equally become a daddy's girl. I mean, how can you not love him? Dad and I are alike in many ways. He often tells me, baby, I get you, and gosh, I'm so glad you do. I'm so proud of my dad, the way he leads the church and our family. He's so passionate and so kind, and he seriously never holds a grudge. You can leave the church and possibly be a little rude on the way out, but the minute you come back, whether it's 6 months or 6 years, Dad will genuinely be so happy to see you. He loves so well and is always quick to give the benefit of the doubt. That's just who he is. He wants the best for others and has a desire for his people to grow and become all that God has intended them to be. He's an incredible pastor preaching from the truth, preaching from the word, an amazing shepherd leading the sheep. He stands in the gap for people, prays for them, fights for them, and will walk alongside them. He'll answer your phone calls at 3 a.m, and he'll stop at the hospital to check on your brother's wife's second cousin on the way home from a vacation. He won't ride the elevator, but he will walk all 7 flights of stairs to pray over you before your surgery. He's paved a way for consistency, momentum, and generations of fruit here at Cottonwood. 40 years at the same pulpit is an unheard of feat. Now, don't get me wrong, there has been hard, and we as his kids have had a front row seat to the hard. But he's a prime example of when you say yes to the Lord's desires become the desires of your heart, and there is complete fulfillment. Because of my parents' obedience and their unwavering yes to the Lord, the blessings have continued to flow down to us as their children, and now we are getting to watch it continue to flow, overflow onto our children. And to me, that is a beautiful example of a rich inheritance. Mom and Dad are everyone's biggest champions, and all that they've done for y'all as the body, they've also done the same things and more for me. They have walked me through anxiety, depression, and seasons of fear. They've never left our sides through some of our darkest days. They're quick to encourage, speak life, and to pray over us. A theme of our life, much like most preacher kids, is feeling like you're living in a fishbowl, which can be challenging, but I'd jump back in that fishbowl a million times if it meant getting to have Mom and Dad as my parents. I'm so proud to be their daughter. I'm so thankful that Cottonwood is the only church family I've ever known, and I'm extremely grateful for Dad and Mom's legacy.
Well, as they're getting hugs, and I want to introduce our next speaker. We are our last speaker, but I think this is really important, because when he was a little guy, one night on back five, we were having a campfire. Men and boys were gathered around. Mike does what he does here. He walks and talks, you know, all of those things. I could keep going. But he was doing that around the campfire. And as I remember, come up here, buddy. As I remember, Tatum was right there by his side. I mean, just right there at his leg. And he was. This is the part it's going to be hard to make it through. He was right there. Everything that Mike did, Tatum would do. If Mike raised his hand, Tatum would do that. Mike would say something, Tatum, he could talk, I think, but he was just like, he would make a noise, you know, just super sweet, just imitating absolutely everything that Mike would do. He did this on and on the entire time Mike shared and prayed, and it's imprinted on my mind as a perfect picture of what I believe God intends a godly legacy to be. And even today, Tatum shares his pa's name. You're Michael Tatum, which you're right. Yes, yeah. He shares his pa's love for the Word. Shares his love for worship. Tatum, like Mike, is a leader among his peers. I think you have a similar resolve as your pa, just to honor God with his entire life. So may God continue to protect you and direct you in that. So we thought it was going to be fitting for the keynote address not to be really a voice from Mike's past, but a voice of the future. Are you surprised? This is the voice of Mike's own legacy.
Well, I want to start off by saying just thank you for 40 years and just... I think this is going to be hard. Just thank you. Just for being grandparents that have always encouraged me. Not being a pastor who, after Sunday, you go back into your office or you go back home and you just don't do nothing, but you stay here and you pour into people, you pour into your family, and you love us. I think you've just done an excellent job as a pastor. So, just to start off, when Scott and Shelley asked me to do this, I was really shocked. I mean, I was really expecting, you know, Mike Walker or Jeff or just one of his old mentors to do this. But overall, I was honored, really excited. I haven't been crazy nervous about it until today. But I mean, it's only because, I mean, I have just an insane amount of good things to say about Paul. Almost pretty much nothing bad. He just deserves it. It doesn't mean that he doesn't fail, but I mean, he deserves all the grace in the world. Man, these past couple weeks led me to some great time in God's Word and some great time of thanks, not only for you, but for Mia, for Dad, for Ashlyn, Lauren, because you would not be the pastor that you are without them. Without them being so humble to let you be the man that God called you to be. Especially Mia. Especially you being by your side, by his side, and supporting him all throughout this amazing pastorate. Gosh. I was talking to Ashlyn about you the other day, actually, and she was just saying how, he just wouldn't be the pastor he is without you. You just stand by him, and you support him, and you support us. You're just as much as minister as he is. You pour into him, and he pours out. So Dad, Lauren, Ashlyn, Mia, thank you. As soon as it was said that I was going to speak, the first thing I thought of was 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. It says this, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed, thank you, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. My grandfather, or as I call him, Paul, is a 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18 man. He's always being transformed, always reflecting God's glory. I've always wondered how God has just never stopped working in his life, how he just always continued to shine and overflow his cup. He's truly a Renaissance man of the faith, if there ever was one. Now, all throughout my life, I've watched and observed many different people, been influenced by art and culture, and out of all my spiritual influences, Paul is the pinnacle. He influenced the guy who influenced the guy that influenced me. He's poured into about everyone in my life. I look up to just about everything that he does. I've looked up to his preaching. I've looked up to his relationship with his wife. I've looked up to his relationship with his children, his son and daughter-in-laws. I look up to his relationship with his children, and I look up to his relationship with y'all. He's the one of the only men that I know that is absolutely unashamed of the gospel. He's always asking for God's glory. He's always praying, and he's always giving thanks. Life is a journey. It's a race. And sometimes it's even an uphill battle. But you, Paul, you've persevered, and you've endured. And you're going to continue to run the race. Now, whether any of us know it or not, we're going to leave a legacy. Every move you make, every word you say is going to be accounted for one day. And that's why I think the greatest honor I have is not only to continue the legacy that my family has left, but the legacy left by the generations of people at Cottonwood have left, by prayer and the pouring out of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." We are a people and a legacy that have been empowered by the grace of God to continue to expand upon what we've built and to continue to press on. I've always felt this has been the posture of Paul's heart. He presses on not for himself, but for the Lord, and he presses on for you. He gives his life to the Lord and in return is commanded to give it to you, which he does better than anyone I know. He hopes for you, rejoices when you rejoice, and he weeps when you weep. I had a great conversation with Lance the other week, and all we talked about was just how Paul is just in a league of his own. And it's in a good way, of course. He just does things that no one else does. He leads about 4 Bible studies a week, knows just about everyone in this congregation's name, has about 4 to 6 meetings on a daily basis, not including Bible studies and elder meetings and staff meetings. His heart is unlike anyone's. The depth of his affections, not only for his flock, but for the Lord, are unreachable. It's impossible to not see. I feel like he embodies James 2:17, 8-18, which says this, "So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Your pastor truly practices what he preaches. That doesn't mean he never fails. Just mean that when he does, he enters into God's throne room with confidence. And you're one of the most humble men that I know. I feel like that plays such a huge role in why you just perfectly embody this. He's constantly taking people out to lunch, having coffee with people, or just loving and praying for everyone. He just doesn't put himself because of others, in front of others. And because of that, people have received eternal life. And because of that, many of us walk in freedom today. I know I've talked a lot about Paul, but he cannot be the man that he is without Mia. Something Paul always says about her is that she's like God. She's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's funny, but it's literally the perfect way to describe her. She lives for ministry in the Lord just as much as he does. Hers is just more behind the scenes, as Ashlyn said. She is the glue. She just holds things together. I've never met a woman or a man in my life as unworryful as she is. There's no way to describe her other than to say that she's confident, strong, and always full of hope. She cares and loves so well, whether she does it by making a delicious meal, giving amazing hugs, or just giving a word of encouragement. There are no words to describe the love I have for you, Mia. You are a Proverbs 31 woman, truly. My favorite Christmas present I think I've ever got was from Paul this year. It's a trophy that he won running track in what I think was his junior year in high school. He gave it to me so that I would always be reminded to run the race set before me with endurance, just like it says in Hebrews 12. I don't know if there's a present that can top that in my mind, because it's not only a reminder to love the race, but it's a reminder of the great love my grandpa has for me. A reminder of the legacy that's being left. A legacy of conformity and the Christ-likeness. Now, the sacrifices that have been made by these two for our sake is immeasurable. I can't think of anyone in the world that deserves more love than you two. I would not be who I am without them. So to finish, if you two could come up here, I would like to bless y'all and our whole family if we could just lay hands on y'all. Lord, we just come here and we thank you for, Lord, just how faithful of a pastor Paul has been to you and how faithful of a servant he's been to you. Lord, there are no words to describe the respect and the love that I have for me and Paul. Lord, they have just served so well and they've loved so well. And they're just the best. They're just the best grandparents I could ask for. So, Father, we just want to bless them, Lord, and thank them for years of just giving their life away. Lord, not viewing it as their own, but viewing it as yours, God. Truly being conformed and transformed from day to day. So, Lord, we love Mia and we love Paul. Lord, and we thank you for them. And we just bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
John, you got to stay next to your husband. All this talk about it. Prove what we've been saying, John Ann. Prove. Before, we're going to give Mike a second. In just a second, it's just going to be a moment. Michael, have an opportunity to have a rebuttal to all this. But before that, we have some gifts for him. First, is there's a painting by Brent Brashear.
Wow, that's awesome.
Show the congregants.
Oh, wow, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, Brent painted that, and so this is a gift, and let's hang it, I guess, in a. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it to him and make him hold it. And then we have a gift basket with goodies. It's mostly with John Ann in mind. There's good stuff in there. And there's also a book in there, I believe. Is it? Oh, here's a book right here with letters, some of the letters that have been collected. also all the things that have come online, the thanks Mike 40 at Gmail. I'll give you the password to that. Okay. You can actually have access to that and do whatever you want to with all those. So we're going to give you just an opportunity to share a little bit, and then right after that, we're going to, you know, Mike usually takes us until this time anyway, so you're all good. You're all good. We actually timed this on purpose so that he would feel comfortable about this. Here you go.
I have a painting in the office that, no, I'm going to keep it here for just a second. Thank you, buddy. That is the Good Samaritan that Brent painted 20 years ago. And this is the woman caught in adultery. Forgiven. It completes a series where Sue Mayer did The Good Shepherd. And this is the woman who's condemned. And he says, is there anyone who's condemned? Is there anyone left? And she says, no. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I find that passage so powerful to me because I think of the forgiveness of God that God's extended to every one of us and how we are to extend the same kind of forgiveness. Even when wronged so deeply that I no longer condemn, that I no longer do this. And she walked away free. I love it because there's forgiveness, but there's also accountability. Go and sin no more. I really believe the promises of God. And these are the things that have sustained us for so many years that he promises. God promises, and what he promises, he fulfills. And I'm so grateful for that. I want to thank you so much for being here today. I want to thank you so much for the letters. I've gotten texts from around the country today, and I'm really grateful for that. I think about just this long journey so far, but many of the people that have spoken in my life, like Mike Walker, 3 years in my life, has a long, long history in ministry. He's continued to endure. I think about my pastor, George Fazell, where I learned how to really be present with people, whether they were children or adults. I saw it so much. He had a great knack of getting folks from seminary, young men who were really, really powerful men, who spoke into us as children, who spoke into us as preteens, children and youth. One of those was Bill Taylor. Bill Taylor's here today. Was our worship leader when I was 12 years old, and became education director, and then kind of went our ways, right? And then he began a ministry a few years ago that I've been able to be a part of. People who like Bill, who teach me the joy of ministry. I think about Ralph Naber, 95 years old. My second pastor, first one that I really worked under. He's 95 years old, gave me a call on my birthday, and he said, Mike, we're headed to the assisted living to my last assignment. 95 years old and still on assignment. Personal evangelism that's taking place in that assisted living of a man who lived a life influencing the world. I think of a man named Jimmy Dorrell, who's taught us to love the least of, taught us community in so many ways. I'm just so grateful for him at West Memorial. And then I think about the people that have influenced my life through the years. I think of Fanny Stroud Chambers. Stroud Hall is named after her and her sisters. A woman that was leading worship here. When it first came, she'd been doing this since she was 19. That's Stephen's mother, who played Great Is Our Faithfulness. I just want to tell you, I just think about that, her, all the time, of just about how hungry she was for the Word, how she loved worship, how she moved us from just a few hymns to a full praise band. And you remember when she stood on here, this gray-haired woman with a full youthful band behind her. I just am so grateful for that, who taught me, you know, so much from 25 years old till she died. And I'm just so grateful for the influence of folks. I'm so grateful for my staff who have been with us. I think it's a total of 170 to 180 years of ministry together, of ministry right here. And I'm just so grateful for that. I'm grateful for elders. I often tell people that this one of the safest places on earth for me isn't an elder meeting. It is the safest place for me. One of the safest places. The safest place is my wife. And you said it all about her. The Bible says that it's not good for a man to be alone. I will create a helpmate suitable for him. And the suitability that we've been able to experience together over, I was trying to count it, 47 years, 3 years of dating and doing ministry together at West Memorial, and then 44, soon to be 45 years of marriage. Tatum is right. She is like God. She's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And for some folks, that might not be too good, but it's really good. Really good. One day, about 15, 20 years ago, she was helping me with a couple with premarital counseling, and one of the things she said to the woman, I do everything by God's power, God's grace, to make sure my home is a refuge for my husband. And this is my first response: oh, that's what that is. That's what I come home to. I'm really grateful. I'm grateful, Scott, today that you got my family from the back row to the front row. Our family thread is Back Row Baptist, and I'm totally fine with it. I really am. I'm just really grateful. I know that through naming names, I know that I missed some. I'm grateful for a Mike Stroop who showed up one day on a cold winter day in 1999 that challenged us to pursue the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And we've not stopped. And my prayer is that the next generations will never stop. And that's what we live for, the glory of God, abroad, at home, and every place in between. So I just want to say thank you so much for letting me be your pastor. For letting me challenge you, and for you challenging me. Genuinely, my prayer is that Christ Jesus is formed in you. That's what I truly, truly live as a pastor for. That he's being formed in you, in your marriages, in your life. And I truly do think of you when I come to a men's group or I have an appointment for you. The question is, oh God, may I just be a part of loving you, loving them to the places you want them to be, need to be. And then I find just that, almost every time, they've loved me to the places that I need to be. That's what you've been to me. You have loved us to the places God wants us to be. And I'm really looking forward to another. Well, maybe we can do 50. Maybe we can do the 50, okay? But Scott, thank you so much. Shelly, I know you've been excited. I didn't know anything except...
I just want to say thank you for loving us. And you'll never know... Thank you for today. You'll never know how you've impacted us, the things that we've learned from y'all loving us and teaching us and being by our side. Thank you. I just want to say that.
Okay, thank you, babe.
We're gonna give Mike and his family an opportunity to go out into the foyer right now. We've got some closing things to do. Not much. I just need to tell you kind of how the foyer. If you're serving, also, you're dismissed to go. But the family, give you an opportunity to do that. In just a few minutes, we're gonna release you to the like banshees. We're going to go out into the foyer. There's a light lunch reception out there, and there's a lot of things out there.
I believe some sliders and some, what is jambalaya, I think is what it is. Three different types, is that what it is? And so parents, here's what I'm asking for you. And this is pretty big. Your children need to go through line with you, all right? So please take responsibility for your children and take them in line with you and make sure that your child knows what they're getting, because I think there's some shrimp in there and there's some other things as well out there. There's also some Mardi Gras king cakes. If you're familiar with king cakes, they usually have a baby inside because it's symbolic of things. It's a bad theology and a choking hazard, so there's no babies in them. And so you'll be free to do that. It's also not too late to give to Mike and John Ann again, or send a note to thanksmike40@gmail.com if you want to blast a note to him real quick. If you have his number, he'd be happy to receive a text as well. Again, offering is in the back if you'd like to give today. If you want to give your a love offering to Mike, you can also do that. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed, all right? So God, I thank you so much for a day like today. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are glorified, and you've done an incredible work here at Cottonwood over the last 40 years. And you've really done an incredible work here at Cottonwood, sustaining this church since 1908. And so we see that you have a hand in absolutely everything that goes on. You have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a direction. And I want to thank you for the direction of Cottonwood the last 40 years. I want to thank you for the global investment we as a church have been able to have. And I want to thank you for Mike's leadership. Pray you continue to bless our fellowship and bless the Fritchers. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank y'all so much for coming.